Hello, everyone. Starting to get a little bit nervous that maybe the Lord's doing something. When I got home from work, I had no idea what I was going to talk about, which is 80% of the time. But all I could think about was a sheepfold. Like a sheepfold. But I had no idea how to write the talk. So I opened the Bible up to some other scripture, but yeah, there is stuff about a sheepfold in the talk. So funny. But Sally was saying, you know, it's I like the fact that the idea of the sheepfold because we've got boundaries and we're free within those boundaries. And whereas people that don't have those boundaries are not sure where the boundaries are and they're unsettled. So it's just great in the Lord. So the title of my talk is actually He Has Called Us. But you'll see further down the track. People could turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. There's one verse here. 1 Samuel chapter 3. He has called us. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 7. I read this a couple of days ago and it struck me. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So this is in amongst where the Lord has called Samuel. He's been living with Eli the priest. He was given up by his mum as a result of a promise. And during the night, the Lord calls Samuel. And in amongst it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So the point I'm making is God called Samuel before he even had a clue about God, even had a clue about his law, even had a clue about his purpose. He called Samuel. And there's elsewhere, Jeremiah 31:33 says, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. So it's God that puts His law in our inward parts. It's God that writes it in our hearts. So before he does that, the logic is that there's nothing there in our hearts, a yearning to know the Lord or a knowledge of the Lord. Jeremiah 24:7 says, and I'll give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So, again, it comes from God. God called us, just like he called Samuel when he didn't know anything about him. So Ezekiel chapter 16. It's an interesting passage here. It does border on the unpleasant, I guess, but it certainly makes a very good point. It is God's word after all. Ezekiel chapter 16. And verse 4, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments, thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. So we have this very visual thing here. The Lord is put here in his word. It's like a newborn child that was cast aside. Even the umbilical cord wasn't cut, wasn't cared for, still covered in the grime and so forth, and just thrown aside. And was nothing, just left. And no one pitied the child. But God wandered past and did. And it's like, you know, the extreme case of not knowing anything as a newborn child. And as that newborn child exposed and destitute, the Lord chose that child. I mean, it's referring to the nation of Israel, but we can refer it to now as Spirit-filled people. We were destitute. We didn't have the Spirit, but God chose us and he cared for us and he washed us. He spread his skirt over us. He provided covered our nakedness and entered into a covenant with us. And it says there nicely, it's, "Behold, thy time was the time of love." So this was a time the Lord walked past and saw this child in a horrible place, and it was a time of love. He expressed his deep love for that child and chose it and called it to be part of his. And verse 9. "Then washed I thee with water, yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel in thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." So not only did he wash this child and care for this child, he as it grew, he raised it up to be this incredibly beautiful thing above everybody else. So he did much more than what he did for others. And I like how it concludes in verse 14, "And thy renown went forth among the heathen." So the renown that was given by God because he called us went forth among everybody else, for the beauty was great that God did in these people's lives. And it was perfect through his comeliness. It was perfect because he did it to these people and to us, and which I, God, had put on us. So it all came from God. All the work that we see in our lives, all the beauty and all the comeliness and the fame that goes forward comes from him. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. We just go through our day-to-day grind and just go to work, come home, go to bed, wake up, go to work, come home, go to bed. It's just this grind that we just do and work as unto the Lord. And over time, it just never ceases to amaze me how often the Lord, as he did with Joseph, puts favour in other people's eyes. And so you get feedback from other people. It's because of what God does. The renown goes forth. Because we're a great example, we just serve the Lord. We're humble before the Lord because everything we have comes from him. We were this destitute child pushed to the side, but he pulled us out, and this renown goes forward. And it's just incredible, really. It's as Lawrence said, it's very humbling, you know, us as mere human beings. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, again, just one verse here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, "He found him in a desert land." So it backs up what I read before. God found us in a desert place and in a waste, and in the waste, howling wilderness. It's like No Anger Up, tumbleweed blowing down the main street. But it was a howling wilderness, not good for life. And he led him about. So he took him out of the desert and led him about. So in this case, of course, God's talking about the nation of Israel, but we can say he took us out of this howling wilderness and led us about. He instructed us. He kept us as the apple of his eye. So again, he did this wonderful thing. We are the apple of his eye. It's someone that he beholds and wants to look after. Jeremiah chapter 2. The apple of his eye. So the apple of the eye comes up a couple of times in the scriptures. But of course, it's You know, it's a phrase we use now, but we're very special to him because he called us and he's desired to bless us. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. So again, the Lord, I mean, of course, this is the nation Israel through the wilderness. But I mean, elsewhere in the scriptures, our time here on earth is like our time in the wilderness. The Lord is leading us through this wilderness, this place where there's all sorts of howling winds and droughts and the shadow of death. There's constant things that can eat away at our walk and distract us. There's all sorts of dainties of this world that can take our eyes off following him. So we're walking in this wilderness and this land of desert and drought and the shadow of death, which it is. And I mean, we all know people who aren't spirit-filled, who are good people. And so we can often think, well, it's not that bad. You know, like we've got work and we've got an income, we've got a place to live in, it's warm, it's blessed of the Lord. But when we look at it at a spiritual level, which we do, when we read the Old Testament, we correlate it to a spiritual thing. And spiritually, it is a desert place. Spiritually, it is void of any goodness spiritually. And spiritually, we can be pulled away and distracted from following him, pulled out of this this sheepfold, this protection. And verse 7, and I brought you in a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. So the first half of that verse is, I brought you into a plentiful country. So we follow him. We follow him through this muck that we live in because he'll bring us to a plentiful country, a blessing. He called us. Not only did he call us, but his duty is to lead us. And of course, our duty is to follow him. And so he didn't just call us and leave us alone. He called us and he now leads us. Zechariah 2:8 says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Now, I like that. So he who touches us spiritually, tries to harm us spiritually, touches the apple of his eye. So wouldn't he want to care? Well, of course, he wants to care for the apple of his eye. So if people try to harm us, they are harming the apple of his eye, the people that he has chosen and desired to bless. Okay, John chapter 10. This is the shepherd bit. John chapter 10. So there's three kind of parts of John 10 that I'll be reading out. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So again, I don't really need to explain it. It's all been explained already. But it's wonderful. Jesus is our shepherd, and we follow him. And I like how he's called us by name. So he has called us. He's called us by name. He's lifted us out. And verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow. Now, in my own testimony, I went to many groups and I didn't understand why I fell asleep. I didn't understand because I knew there was something about the Bible. I knew there was something about God and Jesus and I was sure it was in Christianity, but I didn't understand why I kept falling asleep. But I didn't follow those shepherds because they were strange. But when I came to the Revival Fellowship, I was home. This is it. This is the shepherd I want to follow. This is the true Jesus, the true Spirit, and follow them. And it's just wonderful when we know that. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Jesus is that good shepherd, and know my sheep and am known of mine. So that's important as well. He knows his sheep. He's called us. He knows us by name, but we know him. It's reciprocated. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So those in the future will call. So there it says there again, them also I must bring. Them he must also call. And they shall hear my voice calling. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So it's another aspect of that shepherd that calls us, and we follow him. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. So the psalmist, it's David in this instance, says, keep me as the apple of thine eye. So he's pleading to the Lord. He understands that he is his apple of his eye, but keep me. And that's what, if we follow Jesus, it says he will keep us in this sheepfold. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So keep me as the apple of my eye. And it says here, nobody. I mean, it's that powerful, this connection we have with our Father and our shepherd that called us in the instance. It's this powerful connection that nobody can pluck us out of his hand. Nobody at all. So he cares for us deeply. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's another aspect of it. As we're being called, and as we dwell in the sheepfold and we follow our shepherd and read his word and fellowship and so forth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we've received this spirit which is of God. It's God in us. And I like this, that we might know. So we now know the things that are freely given to us. As a result of this, God his plan is complete. He's called us, he's blessed us, but he's given us his spirit. But then to complete it, we know now, and we can see the things that have been freely given to us of God. We can say, this is of God. And we have this knowledge and this assurance of these things that are freely given because we have the Spirit of God. So it's then a two-way thing. He knows us, but then we know him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I said at the start that I couldn't stop thinking about sheepfold when I rocked up from work, but I thought, how am I going to do a talk on that? And I opened the Bible to this verse. I thought, we'll see where this goes. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. So that's how the Lord managed to make it tie in. Just backing up. If we think we know anything, we don't know nothing. Well, sorry, we know nothing yet as we ought to know. We don't know nothing, eh? Nearly slipped out. I'm glad I reeled it in. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. So what we do know is nothing compared to what we know of God and what we know of what God has done for us and what we know of what God will do for us. So I'm hoping that makes sense. What we know is nothing compared to that, because that is everything, really. If we focus on that and we know these things, God will deal with everything else. As I've found, as I've just said before, the Lord will just deal with everything else. He'll put favour in other people's eyes. Our renown will go forth. We don't have to stress. Actually, that's one thing I was thinking about today. I thought, yeah, you know, there's many people in the work situation who stress out about things. Right, I deserve this. I've done this. I want to be promoted. I deserve a pay rise. And there's all this effort to do things. And I was thinking today, I've never done that. I've just potted along. I mean, God created the wind, so I might as well chase it. Straight out of Ecclesiastes. But and the Lord deals with everything else around it. You know, the renown goes forth. And these promotions or whatever, these things, they just get thrown on your lap and he provides. Because if we love God, the same is known of him. We just need to focus on acknowledging God and what we know of God and what he'll do for us. Oh dear. Sorry. I'll better turn it off, I suppose. I do normally turn it off. Sorry about that interlude. For those that are listening, my phone went off. So turn your phones off, everyone. Okay. I've distracted me. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 and 24 says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord." So yes, we have a wisdom and a knowledge that comes from God. We pray to him and he freely gives these things to us. But when we get that wisdom and knowledge, let us not glory in that. I mean, it comes from God, of course, and we thank the Lord for it. But glory in this, that we understand and know the Lord, that he is the Lord. Oh, okay, last scripture, Hosea chapter 13. It's after Daniel, I think. Yep, after Daniel. Hosea chapter 13, last scripture. Hosea 13 and verse 4. "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there's no Saviour beside me." That's very poignant. There's no God but me. Yep, we understand that. But there is no Saviour beside me. Verse 5, "I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me." So, oh, that's right. I wrote the scripture down, but I didn't put a note as to why I was bringing it. So this here, of course, it's not an encouraging scripture to end with, but it's something, it's a little pinch that we need to be careful. So the Lord is our God. There's no God but him, and there's no Saviour beside him. He knows us in the wilderness. We're in this spiritual wilderness, in the land of great drought. He knows us. And according to our pasture, we've been filled. We've got blessings. He provides for us. We don't stress out about these things, and he provides. He just gives it to us. But we can be filled, and our heart can get exalted. I mean, the Lord put this knowledge in our heart. He put his laws and his precepts in our inner being, and the knowledge of him in our heart. And our heart can get exalted and can forget about these things. "Therefore have they forgotten me." So I just went through a few scriptures about how we know him. He knows us and we now know him. When you stop knowing him, you've forgotten him. So let us be careful. We're in this wonderful place. We're in this sheepfold. We are free in these boundaries to do whatever we want because we know the boundaries. So we have this great freedom. But let us not forget God who called us from this little infant that was just pushed aside straight after birth, called us, blessed us, cleaned us up, raised us up, sent renown throughout amongst the heathen, a knowledge in us of what he's done in our lives. Let us not forget him. Thank you, Pastor Tim.